Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll save you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, the Left Behind podcast. I am your host, Tim Lanning. Joining me is Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
We are covering chapters 7, 8, and 9 of Left Behind Book 3, Nikolai.
Yeah, this is a weird set of chapters.
Yeah.
As you know, we normally do 2 chapters.
Yeah.
But guys, they fucking got our asses with these because they just were like, what if in the middle of the book we just do 2 recap chapters back to back?
Yeah, it's kind of like the first 6 chapters are so quote-unquote action-packed. So they're like, all right, time for...
We got to slow this down.
We got to take a damn breath. And
like,
and
literally did anime-style recap episodes in the middle. Like, that's literally what anime does.
Yeah,
like, a little bit of new things, but mostly just recapping.
Mm-hmm. Both 7 and 8 were mostly recap. Not very long chapters, and mostly recap.
So we were like, we got to add another chapter.
We got to do what we're going to do.
Otherwise, it's just going to piss me off.
Right. Buck like, goes to Israel, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked out because there's an odd number of chapters in this book, so that... Now we'll be on track to have 2 for the rest of them. Unless they do, what if they do another, what if they just did like another recap chapter somewhere?
Well, I was hoping
they're just trying to fill it out. Like, yeah. Oh no, we need this book to be a certain length.
I was hoping they would clarify a few things and they didn't. It was just all shit we
knew. Literally, there were a few small pieces of information that we got from it, but not anything significant.
Yeah. And you know, if you're confused by that, which was recapped, inherently, that would have clarified things for you, but from where I'm sitting, there wasn't really much.
If you're confused by any plot point in these books, may I suggest like a picture book? Like, I'm sorry, these are not exactly like complex.
How dare
plots.
You? That's not true. They are deep. They are chunky. They have twists. They have turns. They have ups. They have downs. They have anti-heroes. They have heroes.
Yeah, like the Antichrist.
Yeah, the Antichrist is the anti-hero, obviously. That's why it's where it comes from.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, shit. I mean, should we just get into it then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chapter 7.
Buck and Ken Ritz are heading to Israel, guys.
Ken Ritz, he's back.
I do love to see Ken Ritz, and there was a small little thing in here that I enjoyed, which is because Buck was thinking back to like, wow, when I first met Ken Ritz, it was like in the immediate aftermath of the rapture, and they were, you know, talking about theories back and forth.
Yeah.
And at the time, Ritz was like, I think it's aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this like little line where Buck is thinking to himself, Ritz had told him of many strange encounters in the air that made it plausible that an airman might believe in such things.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about aliens, and I did really love that.
Yeah, I like the idea of like the nerd Rayford versus the Chad Ken Ritz. Like,
yes.
Man, that was fucking aliens. I've seen some shit up here, man.
Do we? Okay, but this is like a thing in like conspiracy circles of like. And not just like a conspiracy, but like pilots have seen weird shit. Like this is very much like a thing.
You get 8 pilots in a room, they're talking about aliens immediately.
I need to hear Rayford's alien experience.
Cause like well,
come on, he had to have had at least 1, but now he's like, he's probably like, it was an angel.
It was probably an angel.
It was an angel.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that happen in our beautiful sky that no one can explain.
Yeah. I mean, weather balloons.
Mostly weather balloons
and light reflections.
Why do we think that weather balloons is the answer? Because who does that? Is that something they do? Do they still do that?
I think so.
Like, geez.
But there's also spy balloons. Man, I don't know. Remember when we were briefly, like, in this country, like, damn, aliens. Mm-mm. When they did those alien...
Movie The Alien?
No, I mean, the actual government was doing hearings about alien shit. And they were like, well, we've seen some weird things, but...
But...
And nothing ever came of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was during the, like, isn't shit so crazy? They're basically saying there could be aliens, and everyone's like, all right, whatever.
Like, yeah, we don't care anymore. I don't know. I'm gonna have to see, like, an actual little green guy before I get excited. Mm-hmm. Now I need him to come down in his little saucer UFO and land in my backyard. Or actually, sorry, not land in my backyard. I need him to suck me up into the UFO while I am in the backyard.
Hey man, I'll just leave all these things up to Tom from Blink-182 too. He's got
a handle on it. He's got it handled.
He'll let me know when it's time to be like, all right, we got to start paying attention, start looking at the skies and things like that.
Remember when the president of Mexico was like, I believe in aliens, because they were like found like a corpse. Have you seen that? The Mexican alien. You guys, as you can tell, these chapters kind of suck, because I got excited and I'm like, I'm just going to talk about aliens.
Didn't
now.
He also believe in elves?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. There's so many things in the
Can I move to Mexico? They got really good wrestling there. They believe in aliens. Mm-hmm. Good food. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Why not?
Ken and Buck are flying across the ocean to Israel, and they just use the whole time. Like, Ken is just asking questions of Buck about Jesus shit.
Yeah, I guess technically they're filling in a little bit more about Ken's character, of, like, giving him a little more screen time. Like, oh,
not enough.
Quick guy from season one coming back in season three. Hell yeah. He gets a couple more speaking lines, but really it's just an excuse for recap. But, you know, when Buck kind of mentions the good Lord to him, Ken doesn't blow him off.
Yeah, he seems just a little more interested this time. Like, he's actually asking questions about it. Do you think, do you remember, first of all, what happens to Ken Riz?
Yes.
I don't. You do?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was going to. Because
there's a pilot that I like a lot.
And it
I
must be
pretty
him.
Sure it's Ken Riz. And yeah, I know what happens to two people.
Okay, well.
Ken Riz and Buck.
Well, because I was going to ask you, do you think he's going to actually, like, get converted and join them? I think, I'm leaning towards yes. At this point.
Well.
But I guess we'll see.
We'll see. You know, he silently heard him instead of calling him a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
so that's good for me.
Stupid dumbass.
A little worm.
And speaking of planes, Rayford and his crew are landing in New Babylon now. And this is like after Rayford has been listening to them like be like cackling, like cartoonish evil dudes. Yeah. Like, we love doing evil things and blowing up people.
Like, just sharing Instagram feeds of like blown up buildings in Chicago.
And they're like, like that?
Like, I told you you told me we shouldn't bomb Montreal, but look how good it looks.
It looks awesome, dude. Good call. Carpathia, like, turns to all his crew and is like, listen, guys, remember, we're supposed to look sad, okay? Have an appropriate face when you get out of this plane. Because it would be pretty sick if they just got off the plane all like, ho, 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 and, like, joke, you know.
Yeah, drinking Bud Lights, be like, what's up?
They should have slammed them. They should have, like, every person that stepped out, slam a Bud Light.
This is my grief Bud Light.
Yeah.
This is what I do when I'm sad. And everybody like.
This is what Antichrists do when they're very distressed. They drink Bud Light.
I feel like that's true. But they're, like, getting out of the plane to have, like, it's not a ceremony per se, but it's, like, since the potentate was, quote-unquote, missing during the hubbubaloo, they're kind of making a show of him getting off the plane and all of the people. So
and
that includes
news,
Ray and stuff like
the
that.
The various news organizations that are actually all owned by the Antichrist are there. But
I had to punch our cat in the head just
What is he doing?
He's attacking the cord from my PlayStation.
Oh my gosh, what a bad boy. Mm-hmm. So they land and Hattie's there, guys.
Yay.
And Raver's like, oh boy, what's going to happen here? And she runs up to Nikolai and gives him a big ol' smooch, and he is not happy about it at all, which I actually, like, don't even understand. Like, because doesn't this, like, humanize him to, like, everyone? Like, wouldn't he want that?
Yeah, but it wasn't part of his plans, ergo.
So he doesn't like it.
Yeah, because, like, Fortunato's like, bro, you got a surprise coming. He's like, I hate surprises.
He just let me.
Hate and also, it appears that she didn't really do the I'm sad wife thing. She did the I'm happy to see my potentate thing.
My sweetie's here. Mm-hmm. Actually, can you just read this little quote here?
Yeah. When she turned to plant an open mouth kiss on his lips, He pulled her ear to his mouth and whispered sternly. Hattie looked stricken, near tears. She began to pull away from him, but he grabbed her wrist and kept her standing next to him there at the microphones.
Just, I don't know, like, I feel like that looks worse than just, like, letting it happen. But I guess, like, on the other hand, Hattie going for an open mouth kiss in this situation is kind of wild.
Yeah.
You can't be open mouth kissing the potentate in front of everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
kiss him with tongue?
Later they explain that she did this to be bad, which
she did do it intentionally, which I can't. Oh, the way that they're like, these chapters are torturing me. This book is torturing me by how shitty they're being to Hattie without like even like being aware that they're doing it. Cause it's so bizarre to me. Cause they do write her as smart in some ways, but then like every character around her is constantly being like, damn, Hattie is dumb as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she's not stupid. She was trying to see, she was testing him.
Yeah. Yeah. But even that's sort of like spun as being overly emotional and like.
Right. She's just being a crazy woman. Yeah. A crazy pregnant lady.
But they at least gave Carpathia the ability to be like, as you can see, my fiance is distraught as well.
Yeah, because again, like, just like very strange choices in the plot. Like, I think that, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think that I would expect the Antichrist to understand that the way he responded doesn't look good.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he's magic.
It doesn't matter. You're right. You're right. So yeah, so Carpe, I think, gives a little speech to the organized, like, the gathered news organizations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the normal, like, we're so sad about all the explosions that I did.
We're all going to come together and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, soon we will all have one world everything. Yep. Don't worry about it, guys.
Don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, Buck is trying to meet up with Chaim Rosenzweig so that he can find Zion Ben-Judah, who's missing right now. I think that the way that they talk about Chaim is also really, it makes me uncomfortable.
It's very Hattie-coded.
It's very Hattie-coded. They literally, like, call him naive to the point of childlikeness.
Yep.
He really, like, rubbed me the wrong way. Like, it's like, oh, he's so smart, but he's so dumb at the same time.
Are they trying to do some sort of, like, weird, nutty professor style? Like, he's such a genius that he is just weird. But they're just, like, so mean-spirited because of that's how they are.
Exactly. That it just comes across, like, nasty.
They can't make someone who's precocious because they don't respect that. And, you know, here's this brilliant guy that they focus in on his works, but they can't help themselves make him sound like a buffoon.
Right. And I wonder, is it because he's not a believer? It's like they have to code all the non-believers as stupid?
I don't know.
This is like half-baked. I just like, it really like bothered me, and I was trying to pinpoint why it bothered me so much, the way they talk about him. Now, granted, they do write him to do dumb things also, because he does a dumb thing in the next chapter.
Oh my god, yeah. it's funny, because it's like, the way that they write and describe him, you know, just to us, not necessarily from a person's point of view. This is, you know, it's Buck's chapter, therefore it's legal, or Buck's section, it's legally from Buck's perspective, but it's like, this is no different than the way the Antichrist describes him. So you are using one of the good guys, or the third party narrator in this instance, maybe, to talk exactly like the Antichrist. How did no one catch this? How come no one was like, we should probably ease it up, because we don't want, like, do they want us to be like, damn, I guess Nikolai's right about Chaim. Okay, cool.
I don't know. Again, this is like kind of half-baked in my mind, but I'm getting like a vibe of like, the way that like evangelical Christians talk about Jewish people in general, it's like they kind of treat them like they're stupid. Like, well, if you really understood what the situation was, you wouldn't think the way you do.
Right.
And this feels like just like emblematic of that kind of viewpoint. I think that's why it's like pinging to me so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about that, but it just shows the general attitude.
Yeah, because I don't think that's what they're doing, but just like how they write everything, they can't help but let shit squeak in.
Right. Like, because it's just so, like, that is what they think about Jewish people. Like, seriously, like, the only like Jewish people they treat as like smart and good are people that have like converted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm gonna keep an eye on this. Let's keep an eye on this as we keep going. Because, like, obviously, these books have like very fucked up perspectives on like Judaism and Jewish people.
Yeah.
But I think it's, some of it is a little more subtle.
Yeah, and like we've said before, it's the special style of infantilization.
The infantilization.
Feels like it's praising at times, but really you just realize there's like a infantilization mixed with a fetishization at the same time.
And like also you think you're smarter than them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think you have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's annoying. We do find out an additional piece of info about what has happened with Ben Judah and his family.
Yeah.
Which is that apparently, this is a quote from the book, quote unquote, black hooded thugs, arrived in the middle of the day and like dragged his wife and stepchildren out and like beheaded them in the streets.
Ooh.
And we know that Ben Judah got away. His driver was able to drive him away, but no one knows where he is now.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. Buck is coming here to connect with Haim and try to find out where to find Zion Ben Judah.
Yeah, to help him due to all of the murder what with around him. But again, remember, Israel has not been attacked yet. It's one of the few places that's like relatively safe, even though it's close to Egypt, more or less, right?
Yeah.
From, you know, it's always easy to forget how close shit over there is.
Yeah, I do forget about that. Yeah, being in a country like the U.S. that's fucking huge, I'm like, shit is closer over there.
The entirety of Siberia, China, India is the size of Florida.
Now, that part of that continent, a little big. They're pretty big, too.
Oh, okay.
It's just countries are smaller in some parts of the world.
Chapter 8.
Buck finally does connect with Rosenzweig, and we find out that the authorities are trying to blame Ben Judah for the murder of his wife and stepkids.
It's dumb, but what are you going to do?
I mean, that is, like, what... like the authorities would do in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Like, because then it's like, yeah, get him. Yeah. You don't want this guy around.
Especially because he's a pariah.
So yes, yes.
It would be helpful for them, even though it makes no sense. It's like the guy, what with everyone on this, in this country, zealotly wants to murder. He probably killed his family.
Yeah.
He probably chopped their heads off in the middle of the street.
Right, yeah. Well, because they want to get to him. So it's like, yeah, let's just make him be like as big of an evil, you know, person as possible.
Yeah.
We also find out that Ben Judah's driver killed in a car bombing. So they're really trying to kill his ass.
Yeah, you know, it was left somewhat up in the air what his fate was. And when they said he blew up, I was like legitimately surprised.
Like, well, shit.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Because it kind of was like, is Buck going to go talk to the driver at all?
Right.
To figure out any information. And, well, no, he's not because they blew him up.
He did. Buck talks to Haim and finds out that Haim had reserved a hotel room for Buck with Buck's actual name.
Right.
Now, Brandon, I think that's a little bit on Buck. Like, why did you not, like, specify to him? Like, why did you have him do that at all?
Yeah.
Do that yourself, dummy. Like,
yeah.
You're so damn smart.
Yeah, because if you go back to their previous conversation, they were super, you know, wet work spy talk about it. But I guess... how would he know what fake name? I mean, maybe he should have. I don't know. It was really dumb that, like, in the broad sense of, like, we are doing some spy shit. You signed up for the hotel for me and under my name and with your name.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, like, it almost just feels like the book is trying to be like, see how fucking stupid he is. He's got no street smarts at all.
What a little baby.
Now, granted, some people don't have street smarts, but I don't give any benefit of the doubt to the way that anything is written in these books.
Yeah.
So.
And it's also the past. And I'm just like, you could just show up to hotels.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, what's up? Give me a room. And they're like,
right, okay.
That's all we have. We always have a vacancy somehow. Right. The internet doesn't exist. Kind of.
So Buck books himself a new room under his favorite fake passport name, Herb Katz.
Yeah.
And they asked for his company name, which I thought was funny because I'm like, that I've never been asked that in my life at a hotel, but fine. And the company name that Buck gives is International Harvester. Now, is it the next book or the one after that's called Soul Harvest? I forget.
I don't remember.
But anyway, they're like, that's what Buck is. Isn't that so funny, guys?
I like it. Yeah. We're laughing.
Now let's cut back over to Rayford. Hattie has reached out to ask Rayford to meet her for dinner because she wants to talk.
Uh-oh.
And Rayford is worried about being seen in public with Hattie, not because she's with the Antichrist, but because he's worried it will look bad because he's married.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a pretty big sticking point in this section.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it keeps coming up, right? Being like, I cannot be seen with another woman who's not my wife.
Right, like, they're talking about taking a flight together later, and he's like, well, just to let you know, I have to have... He doesn't say it this way. He was like, I gotta ask my wife if it's okay if I sit near you.
Real Mike Pence hours have been here. Gotta ask mother for permission.
If mother says I can sit next to you on an airplane, and, I mean, this is jumping forward, but it is funny, like... Hattie makes fun of her. It's like, we almost cheated on each other.
Like,
each
come other. On, dumb
bro,
bitch.
Bro, I'm not a bad guy anymore, but I used to be a piece of shit.
And I'm still horny. Don't worry about
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he, like, literally specifically says, Hattie, do me a favor. If you agree this shouldn't look like a date, don't dress up. What are you saying? What does he even mean?
With Ray, as soon as he gets in the vortex of Hattie, turns back into old shitty Ray. He can't help it.
He's really like, Hattie, you better not wear anything sexy. You better be in a freaking potato sack.
Right, right. It's
You better be wearing sweatpants and no makeup.
It's
at the bistro.
Yeah, we gotta go to the Global Bistro.
The Global Bistro. I do want to eat at the Global Bistro pretty bad.
It sounds bad.
It sounds like shit.
But
it's like,
that might be the, I think that is not the joke, but that might be the joke. I don't know.
Well, because the Global Bistro, they do clarify that it is two things. Number one, that Hattie helped design and, like, plan the Global Bistro.
Yeah.
And that it is mainly American food in the Global Bistro.
Because that sounded like...
How are you going to call it a Global Bistro and have hamburgers?
Well, they're in Iraq, so I guess it works out.
Oh, my God. I guess it is. I guess it's global there.
It's, It rocks. It sounds like she's like, hey, I need to hang out with you. Can you meet me at the cafeteria?
Right.
And then we learned that, no, it's like a really nice place.
But also a really nice place that has TVs everywhere. I have a lot of questions.
Dude, when that came up, I was like, what is happening?
Take me to the Global Bistro right now. I need, like, do they have a thing where you can, like, select, like, at your table what a TV is? Like,
fucking,
you can, like, play, like, a pachinko at your table?
Johnny Rockets ass. bistro that the Antichrist goes to all the time.
Like, I keep making fun of it, but I cannot stress enough how much I want to go to the Global Bistro.
They have sandwiches
there. Also, it makes me laugh because a podcast that I enjoy called Seeking Derangements has an ongoing joke about opening a restaurant called the Challenger Space Shuttle Disaster Bistro.
Okay.
And that's what I think of now every time I hear bistro.
Oh, okay.
I think they should call it that in this book, too.
Sure.
Brayford asks Hattie, like, hey, don't worry anything slutty, you slut. He goes into his mind palace to feel guilty about being horny for Hattie again. Mm-hmm. And he hopes he can have a good influence on her.
Yeah, he literally, like, leans back with his hands behind his head and is like, time to reminisce.
He's willing his boner down. Yeah. Like, don't. Think about this sexy former stewardess that you used to be horny for.
The book does.
Oh, think about your Christian wife, your second Christian wife.
Your tiny first Christian wife. And they do talk about him getting down in his boxers. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't want to think. I pushed that down.
Little
I'm like, I don't
fancy.
Wanna... I assume that he's wearing, like, little white boxers with red hearts on them. Or...
I'm thinking white boxers. With blue stripes.
With blue stripes. I was torn. I was like, am I going to say red hearts or am I going to say the stripes?
Oh, he wouldn't do red hearts. I mean, come on. That's the joke one,
what
of
if,
course.
What if Amanda got him for him?
As a little joke?
Yeah, sexy.
Tasmanian devil on him.
Oh, my God. I hope she did.
You wouldn't wear, like, that's the devil.
That's the devil. I can't wear the goddamn devil
down there. I don't care if he's from Tasmania or wherever. Pennsylvania, I can't have the damn devil jersey.
Pennsylvania devil. The Jersey Devil? No devils. No Jersey Devils. No Tasmanian Devils. None of them. Oh, my God.
I agree with that, too.
So, Buck goes to... After he talks with Hive, and he's like, okay, I don't really know where to start to try to find Zion Ben Judah. Let's go see the witnesses of the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
They mention here, too, because remember, I think this is in the first, or I don't remember if this is in the second book or what, but where they, like, talked to the big stadium, they talked about how, like, and, like, tons of people all converted then. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently that same thing has been happening over the past couple of years in other locations.
Yeah.
So they're having, like, a massive, like, tit revival, like, stadium. They're not going there. Other people are doing
They did
it.
Clarify that, which made me really pissed off because...
Yeah, I want to see them on a plane.
They talked about Ben Judah going, doing more of these stadium tours. And before, it sounded like our main men were getting on the airplanes. Yeah. They were, like, staying in hotels.
Yeah.
They're eating, like, shitty deli meats.
They're going to the bistro.
Yeah, exactly. and no, that's not the case. I guess they went to the one in Israel And now, and then they went back to the little hut.
Yeah, they went MLM style, and they got their new, their downline went out and started preaching to other people to get new downline.
They're essentially like, don't fuck with this dude.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You have, well, wait a year and a half to fuck with us and this dude, or 2 years
later. Well, did they clarify that Ben Judah actually went, or was it just like other, I think I thought it was just like other converts that were doing it, but I may have just missed it.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a further.
Not that it matters, but it was more just like from a logic of like, wouldn't he have been like killed or something?
I think they talked about him traveling a lot.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense too. Regardless, our two main dudes are they're staying at the Wailing Wall.
Right, right. So this is like the only interesting thing that happens in these two chunks of the chapter.
Like literally, it really is. And even this is barely interesting because it's just the witnesses doing their fucking Bible shit. They're just saying Bible verses,
fucking
talking
playing
Bible
the
code.
Old hits. Like, get over yourself.
Like, let he who has ears let him hear. Like, oh my god, I fucking get it.
The it's fact like, that that he's like, okay, guys, where the fuck is? Well, because he goes up to the Wailing Wall, and there's still a whole bunch of people listening, and they're happy, and far fewer people have tried to attack them now after so many of them were burnt to death with fire.
Exactly. Like, okay, we're gonna stop trying to attack these guys. We don't know what's going on with them. We're just gonna let them do their thing.
And then the Israeli military is like, we can't shoot them. Nothing works. It's fucking crazy.
Like, we're just not gonna, let's just not even worry about this anymore.
Just gonna
we got
be
bigger
there.
Problems.
I do like the vibe that like everyone else is like, this is cringe and moves on, but like they can't because it's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And his
they gotta keep preaching.
Army, whatever. So like they start they're continuing their preaching, which like, as we said before, sounds boring and not very good. But I guess it is magic. But I don't think everyone even like acknowledges it's magic.
But see, that should have come up at some point.
It should be coming up constantly. But whatever. And but they do like psychic mind link with Buck, but they're still just doing their same like, I'm just gonna quote Bible verses at you, you know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here.
This fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But this is more just like a put a pin in this because I kind of want to look into this at some point. They talk about this phrase, proclaiming the terrible day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Is that like a phrase that is like familiar to you?
Yeah.
I feel like it's very much a thing in the Bible and I'm like, I don't need to look. I just feel like that's a crazy phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm gonna research it some more.
Yeah, because like the way that it tastes in my brain, and I probably would have a more, you know, accurate opinion about this 15, 16 years ago, but now it's morphed and taken over by, like, I don't know, fucking Neopets information.
Yeah, they've overtaken it. Wrote over it.
But I feel like a lot of times the terrible day of the Lord is sort of seen as, like, finally God gets his fucking revenge.
It is. It's like God's going to wipe out the non-believers. Fuck them. He's going to rain down fire and brimstone.
I do think it's a sick thing. Like, I think whenever people use oldie, like, big words for what they literally mean, right? Like, terrible day of the Lord is like, that's, it's like, oh, man, fucking terrible, it's raining. But no, this is like, no, it's gonna be, capital T, terrible day of the Lord as he shoots you guys with fireballs.
Yeah, like, terrible as in, like, inducing terror.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Like, in the way that awesome means.
Yes.
Like, you're literally in awe. But then, you know, saying that out loud, I don't know what this means because the tribulation is this, and then the terrible day of the Lord, from my understanding, and like doesn't happen, right?
Right, like, or it already did happen.
Yeah,
kind
and
of.
It's currently happening, or like it's not. I mean, obviously, it's not a day. That's kind of a classic Bible thing, but like,
don't get me started on what day fucking means in the Bible.
It means penis.
No. A day can be a week. It can be a year. It can be 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even joking. Yeah. That is actually pretty relevant to Left Behind.
And feet means penis.
Now that is true. In the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament. I like to think it means in the New Testament too.
Yeah, Jesus was getting his feet washed.
Yeah, that's why everyone freaked out.
Bros.
When he started washing feet in front of everybody. What the fuck?
Like, guys, we're still here. We can see you.
Apparently it doesn't mean the same thing in Aramaic and Greek.
I just love the concept of Jesus being in a big gay polycule with a bunch of, like, fishermen.
And then,
they're all washing each other's feet.
And jacking each other off with their hair and stuff like that.
He is wiping the feet with their hair?
Oh, my God.
Bro, that's gay.
Sir, you nutted. Let me clean it with my Jezebel. Like hair. I'm one of the nine Marys. First of all, God, you are so boring. Like, pick a new name.
Yeah.
There's like nine of them.
There's so many Marys. There's John. Too many Johns.
Too many Johns.
Like,
a couple Sarahs.
We don't need all those.
No.
Get some new names.
New names. Juan Marco.
One more. Oh,
that's a strong mark, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, you got me for a second. At least it sounded interesting.
Just mix it up.
So the witnesses are continuing to speak in their Bible code, and they finally do kind of give Buck a new piece of information to maybe help him with his search for Ben Judah, which is that they say, "Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." And Buck's like, "What?"
Is it at this part or the next chapter where he says they turn into statue robots?
Oh, I think it might be the next one. Because it's like, well, it immediately like picks up. I think it might be happening in...
The scene is in between two chapters, a thing that Jennifer hates.
It's annoying! You don't need to cliffhanger me. I can like see the next page. It's right there. Just fucking leave them together.
Not on my Kindle. It's never there.
No, I can see it.
Because Kindle's a one-page book. Isn't that crazy?
No, I guess that is true. I just am like, why? Like, what are you accomplishing by doing this?
Yeah, cliffhanger. Ugh.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Chapter 9, I guess. Even though we're right here.
And we're frustrated.
But yeah, the two witnesses keep going on, and it's like at some point over this, you know, end of chapter 8, beginning of chapter 9, they just stop talking, right?
Yeah.
And sure, they say
something. We said enough.
Yeah. Because it seems like for a little bit, one of them is saying their general generic shit, while the other one is talking to everyone, but only talking to Buck, right? Like, him who has ears to hear, and also, hey, go to Galilee, I guess? But then they just stop talking. Yeah. And then he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Buck is, like, getting, like, annoyed, kind of.
It's
like,
funny.
What? This doesn't make any sense. Like, tell me some real information.
He should have grabbed them by their sacks and shook them.
Yeah, right? and then, like, dust would come off of them, because, like, they're constantly talking about how dirty they look.
Yeah.
They're, like, two little pig pins.
Yeah. And he's like, tell me what the fuck. And they say a few things in his mind, but I think it's literally still like him who should hear.
Shut up, bitch.
Shut up, bitch. Dude, we're not going to lead you. Why would we lead you there? Like, I don't know. Maybe because you're magic and your whole point is here.
Pretty busy hanging out by the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy.
And they literally, like this is the dude that you guys, like, went out of your... You guys left your wall, your precious wall.
You did!
And you said, don't fuck with this guy. And this other guy is, like, so clearly in a book and here trying to help you. And you're doing mind... And it's the gall to keep doing what you're doing, but use, like, telekinesis or whatever.
It's kind of rad. And I like it because Buck is frustrated.
Yeah,
and I like it when Buck suffers.
Yeah,
so
okay, that's good.
So that's good. And he basically is like, oh, fine. Fuck you guys. I'm going to come back. Because you're not telling me anything. I'm going to come back here at midnight.
And like, can I come back? And they're like, blah, 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 blah.
I imagine them just, like, staring at him with, like, huge eyes, like the way your pets just stare at you sometimes when you're like, there's nothing going on in there.
Yeah, I mean, before he was like on cloud nine because it's like, whoa, those are the words of Jesus. And they're saying it directly to me. I'm so special. Wow.
I'm like, no, you just read it in the book too. It's not that special.
Man. I think most of the Bible's aimed at me, but like that, and people, when I said that in school, people got mad at me. But, like, this is about me right here.
I mean, he was writing with Tim in mind.
Yeah. See these two books, the Bible, that's me. He's like, yeah, it's Timothy, but like, it's not actually you. I'm like, well, okay.
We sure about that?
Well, he's dead. I'm not.
So who won now? So Buck goes back to his hotel and has a potentially prophetic dream while he naps.
Yeah. Odd.
Can we also bring up that they like once again in this chapter had to bring up that Buck can wake up without an alarm?
Yeah.
Even though he fucked up the one time and it didn't work.
Why are they... There's so much sleeping.
Why are they telling us about naps? I don't care.
We're back to the needless food that we do miss, by the way.
I miss the food. I'd rather them talk about that than napping.
Absolutely. But, hey, you know, we got to be reminded that even though Buck is frustrated, he doesn't need an alarm.
Because he's God's perfect special boy. But Buck has a dream that he is Joseph, a.k.a. Mary's husband, a.k.a. Jesus' daddy. Mm. Or earthly daddy, you know.
Yeah, stepfather.
His stepfather. His earthly stepfather. But yeah, he dreams that he's Joseph and that he hears an angel of the Lord saying, "Arise, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word." Which is what happens in the Bible. Well, that's what is the story in the Bible is that Joseph has a dream and they tell him to go to Egypt.
Right.
So now, Buck's like, am I supposed to go to Galilee or am I supposed to go to Egypt?
Does Galilee even exist? What the fuck?
What is the truth?
And I did like it because I felt like this was going to be a situation where they could have used logic. It's like, well, I was probably just thinking about it so much and maybe that was something I read in the notes of Pastor Barnes.
R.I.P.
But they're like, no, hey, maybe you did have a magic dream. But and it's actually like, instead of going to the rational part, the rational instance of this, like, I guess I'll just ask the two magic dudes when I go see him.
I mean, fair enough. You've got access to two magic dudes. Like, probably good to just double check that one with them.
He had a dream, by the way.
Is that legit?
Like, and remember, he doesn't want to go to Egypt because it got blown up.
Yeah, Egypt is scary right now, and they, like, specifically talk about, like, well, Israel is, like, pretty safe right now. So, yeah, he doesn't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for Buck in this chapter. Yeah. Now we're going to get with the meat of the chapter, which is Rayford's big not a date with Addy at the bistro.
It's not a date.
At the Global Bistro.
Oh,
I need a Global Bistro shirt really bad now.
It seems like since she only ate at airport restaurants, it just feels like
knows.
An airport restaurant. Like,
yes,
absolutely. Marble, expensive, and TVs.
Yes. Yeah, that's all they've got. Rayford's freaking out about potentially sitting near Hattie.
Ugh, shut up.
It's so annoying. And this literally, like, this really is how, like, a certain type of, like, evangelical dude is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he treats, like, any woman like, oh, God, she's gonna, her sexiness is gonna infect my mind.
Is this, like, what all Christian fiction does? Is, like, if a man and a woman who are not, like, married in the eyes of the Lord get together, do they always point out what seats they sit in? Do they always mention, like, you know, I've been saying this recently, men and women can't be friends, but I'm saying it because of Naruto. And that has poisoned my mind. But maybe they're onto something. Maybe every book should always point out where everyone's sitting. Because they could be sitting next to each other as in a gay way as well, right?
Right.
Like if two dudes, they could be being gay the way they sit next to each other in a bar.
I just feel like Christian dudes like this, like, don't see women as humans.
No.
Like, they only see them as, like, potential temptation.
I think, you know, I think that's, like, so obvious. It's, like, the most obvious thing about these types of dudes, right? Like, they just see women as temptresses that need to have babies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hattie is on her way to both of those things.
She's doing it. Oh, yeah.
We'll get there. So they get to the bistro. Rayford does a whole super awkward, like, they try to, like, put his place sitting, like, beside Hattie. He's, like, goes around to, like, the other side of the table.
And it's
I don't even understand what the issue is. Like, when you're on a date, do you not usually sit, like, facing each other? Like, do people really sit side by side?
They sit. Well, I envisioned this as a four, like, a circle table.
Okay.
And they're going to have him close to her.
And he's like, no, put me across.
That's the 12 and the 9.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm going to go to the 6. And it would they said that since the table was so big, they would practically have to yell over each other. And it also implied that the nice bistro, which the potentate himself goes to, it was loud.
Yeah.
And then we find out about all the fucking TVs.
It's because they have 500 TVs playing the news. In the bistro.
Yeah.
And Hattie's like, Maitre D', can we get this depressing news off the TVs? And he's like, Miss Durham, that's all there is on the TV. And she's like, well, can we at least put on some music or music videos?
She says, I want my damn MTV. Put on some music videos.
I'm like, truly, like, in my mind, like, they have filled the Global Bistro with K-pop videos were playing in the background.
I mean,
that would be sick.
How anachronistic that they would be able to put music videos. All you only have news and music videos? Like, bars now just play fail videos. All they do is put fail.
They're playing Tribe TV, baby. Yeah. That's it.
And at first I hated it, and then as I'm drinking my beer, I'm like I fucking fell. Hell yeah, baby.
Things that play at restaurants with TVs are sport game, mm-hmm. like half of a Jurassic Park movie. Like never, mm-hmm. like you're never gonna see the whole thing, mm-hmm. but it's like half of a movie. And then yeah, fail compilations.
Yeah,
and
Law and Order are a surprising amount of time too.
That does make sense.
That's because it's always on TV. So
yeah, right. Law and Order is always on somewhere.
There's like 9 of them.
There are so many Law and Orders. One of the what's his faces is retiring. They're getting a new DA. I saw that the other day. Mm. Sam, what's his face?
Water.
Whatever that guy is, you know what I'm talking about.
Not my DA.
Yeah, well, they're getting a new one because everyone's getting old. They're like, people are going to die on Law and Order. We got to change up the guard.
And not by the normal way, by a crazed rapist with a knife or whatever.
No, they're just the actors are actually getting old and dying. Oh, my God. I forgot about this. So not only they changed the news, they put on music videos, and they specifically say that in the people in the restaurant, several people applauded because they changed the TVs. It made me think, like, do you remember that like really old classic like Tumblr like fake story, Opa Homeless style?
No.
Oh, I don't even really begin to know how to explain it. Basically, like someone was telling. Like, wrote a story out on Tumblr that was, like, very clearly fake mm-hmm. of someone being mean to a homeless person and then the homeless person saying, Opa Homeless style, and, like, dancing.
Okay.
And that's what this feels like. It's like, and everyone clapped. Yes, yeah. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen. This would not happen. Like, just imagine a whole restaurant being like, yay, no right. more news. We love the music videos.
I mean, I guess a little bit of the thank God happening.
Yes, but I don't know. That just made me laugh a lot. So Hattie is sad. Rachel can tell she's really sad. And he also notices that her engagement ring, she's got it turned in so that the diamond part is, like, in her palm.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, facing out.
Is that a thing that females do? You have to, like, it's like a cat's tail. You have to see.
Right. Like, uh-oh, it's turned in. She's in a bad mood. Like, I don't really know. Because, like, you still have a ring on your fingers. Now you just look married. So, yeah. Like, which maybe is, like, kind of the point. Because it is funny. Because basically, really, Hattie is bringing Raver here to be like, ugh, the Antichrist won't marry me. He's not committed to our relationship.
He never talks to me, and he keeps being mean. He's so mean, he's the Antichrist.
And also implying that he just shows up to fuck. And then leaves. And they don't even live together. I'm getting ahead of myself, but like, it really feels like Hattie is like, I have no friends. I need to talk about my relationship
problems.
She just
hangs out in her big, weird apartment, designs bistro, and fries.
I'm like, what if we did a BLT on the menu?
Stop telling me about the bistro. Be an adult.
I don't fucking care.
I don't fucking care. It's all cheese sticks and BLTs. Like, yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, she wants to talk to Raver because she's not happy in her relationship with the Antichrist. And in this conversation, she, like, mentions getting dumped by Raver. And he's like, now hold on a second.
No, hold on here.
And she's like, shut up, Raver. I felt dumped. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, they kind of, like, give her a few, like, earned jabs. But again, they can't really write her. So it automatically goes back to her just sounding crazy. Because like,
it's been like years at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, get over it. Oh my God. Which is, I blame fully on the writer because mm-hmm. they're obviously doing like the worst job of writing Hattie. And she also mentions like she has to drop because she had to crush a buck too.
That was weird.
Like, okay. Like, why are you telling me this?
And Ray's like, why are you telling me this?
Like, okay, you had a crush on me and my son-in-law, weirdo.
I like when Rafer's like, can you get to the point? And then they're like, all right, this feels like you're just doing this because the way they write Hattie, but I'm on your side this time.
Yeah.
Please, like, shut up.
Like, for real, you're literally pregnant with another man. Like, get over it. So she, you know, complains about how bad her relationship is with the Antichrist. And she talks about how she's like, tries to connect with him. But then, I would make some silly statement based on my limited knowledge, and he would either laugh at me or ignore me. Like, it really feels like they're being, like, making Hattie be like, I'm a big, huge dummy, and he won't listen to me.
Right. I think you should be thankful that the Antichrist even consulted you about him taking over the planet.
I can't believe he even mentioned it at all.
Right. He kind of seems to have his whole shit together, but he was being nice, and maybe you fumbled that bag,
actually. You might have fumbled it, Hattie. Like, I honestly, like, you kind of have a sweet setup, like, all around. So, like, just, like, make friends. You have the opportunity to become a real housewife of New Babylon. Make friends. Have parties for no reason. Yeah. Get in fights with people.
What is Leon Fortunato's wife doing?
Yeah.
What are the other 10 wives doing other kings? Like, you absolutely, like, Real Housewives of New Babylon would be delicious.
I want it so bad. I want to know what the drama would be.
They would have to take the first three episodes off the air because it was like, what? And then, like, re-upload them. Like, well, he clearly died. He did a treason, and he always was going to do a treason, and he's dead now.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know, like, again, if this is a thing, and she's like, I have money, but I'm bored, get over it, girl, like, make, you can, because he, like, literally says, like, in this, like, he doesn't care what she does, like, because she's all like, oh, is it okay if I, like, go on a trip to see my family back in the U.S., and he's like, I don't fucking care, do whatever you want. So, like, why are you not living it up? You know, like, you got that Carpathia credit card.
Right.
Just, like, be buying shit. I would have a great time.
No.
I would have a great time as as the paramour of the Antichrist.
No.
I would be spending so much money.
Is there any part of you that empathizes with the fact that her partner doesn't love her, doesn't talk to her?
Not really, because she literally says she didn't – she thought it was physical all along, and it's like, well – yeah, you're correct. So what did you think was going to happen?
But he gave her a ring. Literally.
He did. He, like, literally, she says he just, like, put it on her finger. Like, not a proposal. He doesn't say, will you marry me?
Right.
He just is like, here's a ring. Here you go.
Crazy.
Shut up.
Crazy shit.
Yeah, no, I should feel bad for her, but I'm pissed off at the lack of Rojasos of New Babylon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be real with you.
I get that.
I'm lashing out right now.
And you're having a very emotional
Yeah, I'm having
reaction.
An emotional response to Hattie not taking full advantage of being the first lady of New Babylon.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, I would be putting on some crazy parties.
Remember, she also...
I would be buying, like, miniature ponies and shit.
Well, yeah, doing, like, some Ivanka shit where
exactly.
It's like...
Exactly! Like, I decorated the...
I made blood trees for Christmas. Like, Ivanka seems crazy, but you kind of got to give it up for that insane shit.
100%. That's what I'm saying. She could be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think he would care. Like, as long as it didn't, like, make him look super bad.
Right.
But, like, that feels like a thing that, you know, a politician's wife... would do. Like, I mean, I guess it's kind of cramping her style now because she's pregnant.
Right.
So she can't be drinking 15 coffee espresso martinis
right.
like the Real Housewives do.
Yeah. And I have to assume there's not a – I mean, this is just a recently renovated city, so I can't imagine she has a lot to do. And I'm sure there's people around her that treat her, I don't know, like the Antichrist girlfriend. So it's not super easy for her, but it's like – whenever she asks her boyfriend a question, he's like, I don't give a fuck. Be an adult.
Like, oh my God, you're so dumb.
You're just literally so
Shut
annoying.
Shut up.
I don't care what you did today.
Yeah.
Stop talking to me. I'll see you at 4 a.m.
Do you think that Nick, like, cares at all about the baby? Because he doesn't even seem like he cares about that. And I thought that he maybe would be like, I don't care what you do, but you
right.
better keep my child safe.
Yeah, there was a whiff of, like, I'm just doing this to acquire baby. But as she kind of describes the relationship more... I didn't even see any of that.
No, because, like, if he cared about the baby, wouldn't he probably not want her to travel? Because he'd be like, what if something happened?
Right, because,
like,
it doesn't even...
He would want to, like, keep her in a little cage.
Right, it doesn't
if he cared
seem
about
like
the baby.
She's in a gilded cage, per se. She's just kind of neglected.
He just, like, truly does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So this is where Hattie now, like, she's getting in deep into their problems. And this is where she admits that when she showed up at the airstrip when they landed, that she was, like, intentionally trying to, like, goad him into
yeah.
doing something.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I actually was not excited to see him. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I did this to see what his reaction was. And that, based on his reaction, that was the last straw.
Yeah. But again, it's like, girl, you're kind of in too deep now. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Because, like, even if you do, like, run away, he's going to find you. Like, he's got resources.
He's going to kill you.
Unless he wants that baby.
You're going to get disappeared.
He's going to put you in a literal cage
yeah.
until you give birth, and then he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm actually just like very curious to see, like, because I don't know if you remember. Again, I like don't remember plot wise like anything that happens now, so I don't know what happens with this baby.
No, I don't remember anything. No,
and she actually like admits that she has every day thinks about abortion.
Hell yeah.
And Rayford's like, please don't do it. Please. That's the most evil thing you can do.
Right. And I do at least respect lightly in a weird way that they're like, Ray's like, I shouldn't really expect her to have the same opinions as me. The way that I read that versus the way they intended it is completely different. Meaning I'm like, okay, open-minded. What they meant is like, if you're not a Christian, you're the literal devil.
It's the same thing as like, well, if you don't believe in God, then why don't you just go murder people? Like,
right.
What? Oh, you're telling me if you didn't believe in God, you just go murder people?
It's the same vibe of like, well, they're cannibals. They don't know any better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's it seems progressive for like 0.5 seconds. And then you're like, oh, it's not. Yeah, because like everything is just bad, and she's like, "Why? I don't really want to have a baby with this guy." She also talks about how like, yeah, he seems like super psyched about all the bad shit that is happening in the world.
He says he's sad, but he's like clapping and running around about all his plans. I think he wants people to attack him so he can retaliate. It's like, you are absolutely correct. And it's kind of wild that you're admitting this and even telling Ray this.
And also that the book is trying to frame you as a stupid person for, like, realizing that. Like, right. Because in general.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's a great point, because she's the only one that can see through Nikolai's bullshit, right? Because she is not a Christian, so Nikolai's magic does, like, apparently should work. But I guess it's possible Nikolai pulled the authors of this book and didn't respect a woman enough.
He underestimated her.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so curious what's going to happen with Hattie. Like, I really don't know where they're going with her character. And I assume they're going to kill her in some, like, really demeaning way, is what I have to assume.
Yeah, I have a wisp of a memory of what happens with her, but I have two separate ones and I don't know which one's true. But I think she stays around for a little bit longer.
My brain,
a good chunk of it.
I don't think this is what happens, but also my brain's like, she gives birth on an altar and then they like slit her throat and kill her.
Yeah, who's to say?
I mean, that would be pretty metal if that happened.
Like, would they have her kill herself? Like, is that too hardcore for these books?
Oh, I think they would. Yeah. I think they absolutely would.
Because you don't feel bad for them because they're not Christians and they're weak.
Yeah. I'm like, well, she's in hell now.
She's in hell. Good luck.
Another really interesting thing that happened in this section is that Hattie's like, I know you're probably surprised about this, but I'm actually ashamed that I'm pregnant out of wedlock.
It's like, why? You don't believe in God.
Why are you a huge slut? Why do you care?
I know you think I'm a whore because I wanted to fuck you, but, you know.
But I'm actually only kind of a whore.
Yeah.
Like, she would have been cool with it if then they got married. But, and that's why, like, this whole section makes me feel crazy.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what they're making out that Hattie's actually upset about is that he doesn't want to marry her.
Yeah.
Not that he's an evil man who's excited about all the horrible things happening in the world. Is that she's like, he doesn't want to hang out with me or get married. And I'm sad.
I get it, right? Like, maybe they stumbled a little bit more in there, but, like, literally, the person you're dating doesn't talk to you.
Yeah. And it's like, does not live with you.
Does not live with you. And whenever you try to talk to him, he gets annoyed and says that you're being a child.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's a bad situation. I mean, she's dating the Antichrist. So, you know.
She's dating the Antichrist during World War III. Not a super fun time.
No, not a great a situation to bring a child into. Mm-hmm. Another fun thing in this little section is that they both make fun of Nikolai for calling himself potentate.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, yeah, he sounds like a dumbass.
I like that they're like, this part was wild because she goes, don't most of you church types consider him the Antichrist? And Rayford's like if he was still eating, he would choke on a damn tomato, but.
Yeah, he would choke. The sweat, like, pops on his brow.
What's up? Who, the anti-who? What's up? And they just kind of, like, danced around it, but.
Well, because, well, they, in Rayford's basically like, boo? And she's like, yeah, I can read. I read Buck's reporting in the papers. And Buck, because he's so objective, is giving every, like, option of what everyone says.
Right.
And that includes the people that are like, Nikolai is the Antichrist.
Yeah, and I bet he, like, spelled it out, like, 2 years ago, right? Or a year and a half ago. And now shit's coming to fruition because it's the Bible and shit. So she's like, oh, that's interesting. And it's a little cute because she's like, well, we can just call him AC. And Ray's freaking out.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
And for some reason, this kind of like spurred a memory. And I'm like, I think they might do this.
I think they might too.
I think they start calling him the AC.
Did they actually, have they joked about it before maybe? Because I was like, did they maybe like joke about this in the past?
Maybe they did. Maybe that's actually what I'm remembering.
I don't know. But I don't remember. If you guys remember from listening to us, if they've talked about this, let us know.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if they didn't. If they did this. If they haven't done it, I wouldn't be surprised if they do it.
Yeah, ideally what happens is they trick Hattie into becoming a Christian, and she's yet another spy. But both of my memories, that doesn't happen.
Okay. We'll see.
But
we just got to keep reading.
Like I'm saying, they are less likely to happen than anything else, right?
Yeah.
The fact that I remember it is – well, that's reason why to suggest it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's been so long. Mm-hmm. So then we close out the chapter with Hattie basically being like, okay, you know what? I am going to go back to visit my family.
Yeah.
Fuck Nikolai Carpathia. He doesn't give a shit anyway. Maybe we'll be on the same flight. And Rayford's like, don't get too excited. We'll see what happens.
I have to ask my wife first.
And she makes a comment, wow, I don't remember your first wife being so possessive.
It's like, well, this one knows that I tried to fuck you.
Yeah. And he's like, I was still the same though. And like, yeah. Also, like, if she had known, she would have been possessive.
It's wild that she's like, maybe we can sit next to each other. And you're like, ugh.
Like, again, like the whole, like, I literally cannot sit next to a woman. Like,
right.
Is people really like act this way?
It's crazy.
Like literally, like isn't that like Mike Pence? Like literally, yeah. Wouldn't meet with women one-on-one. Like,
yeah.
And these people are in our government, mm-hmm. making decisions, and they are afraid to sit beside a woman.
Yeah. Well, they're not afraid of the woman. They're afraid of everyone else. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm just afraid how horny I get when I see a woman.
Well, someone else will see me and they'll be like, well, I also don't respect women. Ergo, you're trying to freak her.
Yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. This was written so many years ago and it's still a problem.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's fun.
Well, guys, that's these chapters.
That's these three chapters.
Three chapters. And we did not even like go into the ways in which they were recapping.
No.
Recapping. In the previous ones. We saved that. We saved you from having to.
Yeah, we tried to sift out any of the interesting things, but. You
know. I did love this bistro section. That was very.
The very
Club
good.
Of Bistro. I want to go there. I would like to eat a hamburger.
I bet it's like you get the driest sandwich. And the most expensive salad you could ever get.
It's a tomato, the mealiest, palest tomato you've ever seen in your life.
Here's the thing they were talking about during the recap, and this was the part where I was hoping they were going to give us more lore, world building, but they kind of shied away from it, / didn't give anything explicit, and that's they didn't really talk about how much these other countries are using the formula. Like, they talked about that, like, certain places in Africa can now, you know, plant and make crops. And I think there's a way to take the sentence for which they said that that's happening. But they still kind of made it out to that classic, like, poor African country.
Right.
And they, like, but it's been a while.
It's been, like, several years.
Yeah.
So theoretically, I think that should be getting better. But I guess also there's so many – I mean, World War III is happening too. So, like, maybe it's just, like, canceling – out?
Yeah, because like we're roughly like 20 to 22 months because they keep saying less than 2 years ago. So
yes.
Like we're just on the cusp of 2 years since the beginning of the book, since the rapture, all that good stuff. So I guess maybe since it's only been a while that the global community has come together, I don't really know. But I wanted more of that.
They probably just dropped that plot line fully. They're like, we don't have to care about
I think
this.
They probably – well, because they're going to have to somehow – justify the famine and shit.
That's true. Well, they just keep bombing shit.
Yeah, I think there's like 9 ways to do it. Of like, oh well, the formula didn't actually work.
Locusts
in the southern hemisphere.
I mean, like, yeah, if you can grow plants, but they get eaten.
Well, yeah, I mean, locusts are coming. Folks,
no, don't worry.
Don't worry,
they're coming.
But I guess I thought that because Nikolai was talking about how much famine and shit there's going to be after the war and people starving to death. I'm like, but if they have the goddamn formula. Everywhere should have fruits and veggies.
Yeah, I think.
And also, again, a country the size of Israel, we've talked about this before, turning into a breadbasket makes them the most powerful nation on the planet That's crazy.
Like, sir, that doesn't make any damn sense. I am so sorry, but
we understand. I understand how much money you could make doing this, right? Because you avoid all of these export, import fees, yada, yada, yada. But Israel's not that big.
No. Like, you, that, it just, yeah, it is not. Like, factually, there's only so many. Unless you were making, what if they're like building towers in Israel to like grow things in? So they're expanding their like square footage of land. I don't know. I don't think that's happening.
I was thinking about that in my mind palace.
Yeah.
Earlier. I don't remember why. Maybe it's because I was playing Yakuza and I was thinking about Japan being like a croissant, aka a body that is completely covered in buildings and things like that. Like, yeah, build a skyscraper. Every floor, that's a fucking a farm.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Get grow lights.
Get fake sun and shit like that.
You can make it work.
Thanks for listening. Listen to more of our good ideas about towers of, well, they have that in Apex Legends. It's so beautiful.
I mean, I think it's like, well, I feel like in the various like sci-fi shows I've watched too, like I feel like inside like different like stations, they'll have like big like kind of towers of plants.
I think it was actually maybe a sci-fi book I was reading.
Okay.
And it's like this entity was making farms underground.
In like real life architecture, there are buildings, like green buildings that have like plants on the outside of them. That's a thing. I think there's one in Spain or somewhere that's pretty cool looking. Whoa.
There should be one floor of every single skyscraper that's a farm. Yeah.
Sure, why not? I don't think it'll work. It'd probably be stinky and weird.
But. Yeah, I would rot the floors and things.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Head on over to patreon.com/contenthole if you want to get more delicious content from us. You know, maybe we're talking about a show, a movie, just general things, baby. Check that out. It's a lot of fun, and I know you will like it. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Tim Lanning. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer Cheek. You can follow the podcast at Trib Farce Pod, or shoot us an email at tribulationfarce@gmail.com. Always love to hear your insight, especially because these books are weird and have existed for 1,000 years. So it's always good to get y'all's input. Anything else, Jennifer, before I sign off?
I think that's it.
Cool beans. Like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.